item 1045.
Amend Finance and Revenue Code to streamline the procurement and contracting process.
Colleagues, the city procures and contracts for hundreds of millions of dollars every year, as you're well aware. Procurement Services is our central support team that ensures the city is being good stewards of the taxpayer dollars that we spend, and also making sure that we're doing so efficiently and effectively. This item of proposed procurement code changes has come up again after a lot of discussion with Lester and the Procurement Services team. Lester first introduced these proposed changes to us in March of this year when we permanently increased his position signature authority to $1 million for goods and services, construction, and professional technical and expert services after a pilot period. At that time, we decided to authorize the increase for his position signature authority, but to wait on the rest of the changes. Lester and his team subsequently met with most of us and our staffs to discuss these in more detail. These changes come back before us again in May, but we made a collective decision to defer until we can have a work session. We had a work session with the Procurement Services team on August 27th. Lester has since met with a few of you to discuss your concerns, and what is presented today is a set of revisions that will streamline the procurement and contracting process and assist the city in executing its work. Procurement Services worked with its Bureau customers and stakeholders to review chapters 5.33, 5.34, and 5.68 to identify other local agency procurement rules, to identify opportunities to streamline the process based on the review of other local agency procurement rules and an assessment of best practices. While these changes will result in less contract-related items coming before the council, Lester is committed to providing us regular reports, if we so wish, or presenting to council on a regular basis with data and metrics on the city's procurement and contracting operations, if we so wish. With that, I'd like to introduce Lester Spittler, the city's chief procurement officer. Good afternoon, Lester.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, City Council. Happy to be here. I appreciate you making some time. I have a presentation that I would like to go through.
And Lester, since we're all well-versed on this, if we could go through it expeditiously and leave the majority of time for questions that the council may have.
Sure thing.
Thank you, sir.
There's three chapters of code that deal with procurement and contracting, as Mayor Wheeler said, 533, 534, and 568. Here is a timeline of our outreach to bureaus to get feedback and ideas on how to streamline the code. We met with the council execs in February of 2019. We subsequently brought an action to City Council in April. And as Mayor Wheeler said, we postponed that action until May until we could have a work session, which was scheduled on August 27th. And thank you again for that. We also reviewed these changes with the Fair Contracting Forum at our September meeting. So in 533, we have revised definitions. There used to be definitions in all three chapters, and we've done our best to consolidate them in 533, and we've updated them to be more applicable to what is in statute and to be more applicable with other policy updates over the years. With regard to reverse auctions, we added clarity to the process and updated based on industry best practice and provided better instruction. The sustainable procurement language in code was updated based on an update to the sustainable procurement policy last fall in 2018. So we've updated all of the language in code to align with that. We have a new process that we're introducing in 533 for an unsolicited proposal policy. This provides an avenue for the city to consider ideas without having to define requirements and issue a solicitation. This should encourage innovative partnerships with the private sector. We have in code that any contract that results from this authority will come before council for authorization, regardless of amount. With regard to emergency procurements, we are increasing the threshold for my position as well as bureau directors from $150,000 to $500,000 with commissioner in charge approval. Any emergency contract over $500,000 can be authorized by the commissioner in charge, but will need to be brought back to council at the next regularly scheduled session. We made the same changes to the section of code in 534, which is for construction contracts. Today we have direct contracting authority in our professional technical and expert services that allows us to directly contract with a COBID certified firm that's a disadvantaged business enterprise, minority owned, women owned, emerging small business, and service disabled veteran business owned enterprise. we can contract with them directly up to $100,000 without going through a competitive solicitation. We are asking council today to replicate that authority in goods and services and also increase it to $150,000, which is the statutory threshold for informal versus formal. Our pre-qualification requirements only exist for construction contracts. Today, any contractor that wants to bid on an opportunity that exceeds $250,000 has to submit an application that gets reviewed and approved by a board that's representative of our infrastructure bureaus. We also have a program called the Prime Contractor Development Program, which is really a closed market, a sheltered market program that allows COBID certified firms to bid on opportunities without competing with firms on the open market. We are aligning the pre-qualification program to the same program which exists for the Prime Contractor Development Program. This is essentially eliminating a barrier for those firms in the program. We're proposing to increase the grant-making authority from $5,000, which it is today, to $15,000 for bureau directors. The $5,000 threshold was established in January of 2010. We have a slide here that shows in the fiscal year 2018-19, the city awarded 108 grants for a total of $10 million. 93 of those grants for $9.97 million came before council at the $5,000 threshold. If the same amount of grants came to council in the future with the proposed change to $15,000, council would see 66 grants for $9.7 million. So that's a reduction from 108 grants to 66, but council would still see 9.7 of the $10 million that is awarded through those grants. For intergovernmental agreements today, there is authority that exists with my position, which doesn't quite make sense. Procurement shouldn't necessarily be involved in intergovernmental agreements. So one of the changes is to remove that authority from my position and to add it to bureau director's authority. And we're proposing to increase the threshold from $5,000 to $100,000. Similarly, with the analysis of the grants that were awarded in the over the last two fiscal years, the city executed 178 intergovernmental agreements totaling $99 million. 100% of those IGAs came before council for approval. By increasing the threshold from $5,000 to $100,000, council would see a reduction from 178 IGAs to 55 intergovernmental agreements, but would still capture 95 of the $99 million. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to come and present.
Thanks for your good work, Lester. Commissioner Hardesty.
Yes, Lester, I want to echo the appreciation for your hard work on this. I know you have put a lot of effort into being responsive to the concerns that have been raised. My one question has to do with 5.34.510. where we would raise the authority from $150,000 to $1 million on co-bid contracts.
Yeah.
That is a huge increase, and when we talked, I told you I could probably support $500,000, but going from $150,000 to $1 million, when we have not been successful and obtaining contracts for minorities, women, and other people, why would we give you authority to jump it to $1 million if?
I'm sorry. Is that for the direct contracting or the pre-qualification?
It was on the slide that you had. If you go back to 5.34.510, yes.
Okay, so this isn't.
I'm sorry. 250 to $1 million.
Okay, so right now, contractors that want to enroll in the Prime Contractor Development Program, they have to submit an application that is very similar to the pre-qualification program application. So the pre-qual board reviews those applications and approves the entry for those contractors into the Prime Contractor Development Program. As I said, there's a very similar pre-qualification application. So if you're a contractor that wants to do business with the city over $250,000, you have to submit two applications, one to get pre-qualified and one to get into the Prime Contractor Development Program. If we remove the requirement to submit an application for the pre-qualification program, the pre-qual board still reviews the application for that contractor to get into the Prime Contractor Development Program. So we're removing a barrier and opening up more opportunities as we see it.
But what I've seen so far is that we don't normally meet the goals that we've set for these programs. And so if we don't meet the goals, if we increase the authority from 250,000 to a million, should I expect the outcomes to be different?
It's not necessarily increasing the authority. It's removing a process for those contractors that they have to go through.
And so the people who are on the board review the contracts now, and they have authority. I mean, they approve the applications to participate in the co-bid, right?
No, the board approves applications for construction contractors to bid on city-issued opportunities.
And who is this board?
The board is representative of the five infrastructure bureaus: the Water Bureau, BE Environmental Services, Transportation, Parks and Recreation, and Facilities.
And we're not meeting our goals, right? So if we're not meeting our goals today under the current standard, giving the authority to increase the limit to $1 million, how will that help us reach our goals for minorities, women, and other emerging small businesses?
So by increasing that, that actually opens up opportunities for contractors that aren't pre-qualified today to bid on opportunities. So if you haven't gone through that pre-qualification process, you will be able to bid on a project either through the Prime Contractor Development Program or the open market up to $1 million. So it could actually increase the numbers for those contractors that maybe have historically tried to submit an application and got denied, or see that as an additional barrier to doing business with the city.
Or it could decrease the total minorities that apply, and women.
No, because this is only for those minority firms and women and firms.
In the co-bid program.
Yes. So they, for them, they get pre-qualified up to $1 million now instead of restricting them to 250.
Okay, I get that. I'm just trying to make sure that we are actually going to get the results that we say we're going to get, and I'm just concerned that we keep coming up with these different proposals that don't get us the outcomes that we're looking for. But what you're I get it. So now they'll be eligible for up to $1 million in a contract.
Yeah.
All right. I get that. I'm good.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, Lester. Public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes. Charles Bertrain and Maggie. She may have left. Oh, Maggie. Sorry.
2 minutes each, please, just because I want to make sure we get to this last item. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Epping. A couple weeks ago, I talked up here about public process, and Amanda Fritz pointed out how long your meetings go and how much more, arguably, work you do than county commissioners because of the way the government is structured. I'm not even sure. I think there's perhaps weakness in our city charter where we can see contracting limit dollar amounts tripled. You know, one of these items brings up of course it's just the city code, but one of the PDFs that links here is 107 pages. And I know there's been some level of public involvement and that there's different tensions. We want to be able to reduce administrative costs for contractors so that they can put people to work and create good jobs. But there's no denying that this is under the shadow of a city that bought an $800,000 mansion to put a filtration plant in, and then we discovered, oh, we forgot a few $100 million worth of costs about running pipes to the facility that's going to be there. So now obviously those numbers are big and aren't going to escape public scrutiny, but you know, I'm sure you've all done your own moral calculus as far as balancing public exposure and public input on expense versus you know, being able to make business move quickly with less expense. But as charter review comes, I think that as taxpayers, we really need to look at what we ask you all to do as city commissioners, and do we want you to keep bringing $250,000 contracts in front of us, Or do we want them to be run through procurement office where nobody sees them? So if any of you are inclined to vote against this procedure, I think you're still doing a great public service towards transparency and public involvement in government. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I'm going to echo the need for public transparency, and I also want to echo what Joanne Hardesty said about jumping from 250,000 or 150,000 to a million, because I would rather see four or six contracts or eight contracts go to women and minorities and people with disability and vets than for one person, a woman or just disabled person, get a $1 million contract. Why can't we have three groups that are normally locked out because they're not big and they're not socially connected, and have them come together and say, okay, you're going to do this part of the contract and you're going to do this part of the contract, so that more people are getting more chances to have contracts.
Thank you.
Joanne?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Very good. Thank you, everyone. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. And Carl, it's my understanding we're reading